Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, which is for our meditation this morning, is recorded in the letter to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. This is our text. Fellow redeemed in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. A few years ago, an elderly gentleman, older than me, won the lottery, big time. And when he was asked what he would do with his winnings, he said that he was going to get rid of it as quickly as he could, since he had one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. Now, he was probably expressing some truth there, but of course, if that's as far as it goes, we would, as St. Paul said, be of all men most miserable. But the same thing is said quite a bit more elegantly in J.S. Bach's cantata for the third Sunday after Epiphany, "I stand with one foot in the grave." I stand with one foot in the grave now. Deal with me, God, of thy good will. Come, O my God, whene'er thou wilt, whene'er my soul's departure, receive it, Lord, into thy hand. And that, of course, would also be appropriate for this past Sunday and its gospel lesson, the story of the miracle of the raising of the son of the widow of Nain. The verse in the cantata points us to confidence in God's grace, in his will for us, and his promise of a blessed death and resurrection. And likewise, our text from the letter to the Hebrews points us to the supreme confidence that the child of God is to have in the face of death. Now, you remember the story of Abraham and Isaac from the book of Genesis. Abraham had been promised on several occasions by God that in his seed, in his descendant, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But Abraham and Sarah arrived at very advanced old age, still childless. And then came Isaac, their child of promise. So now it was possible that God's promise could be fulfilled. But then there came that fateful day when God told Abraham to take Isaac along with him up to the mountain, and there Abraham was told to sacrifice his only son, the child of promise. With Isaac dead on the sacrificial altar in the wilderness, there could be no fulfillment of this promise. And yet, Abraham persists in believing the promise of God, a blessing for all people in his offspring. So what can Abraham do? He could refuse. Also, he could just simply say, "Okay, God, whatever you say, you must know what you're doing. If you want to go back on your promise, what do I have to say about that?" But as you remember, of course, from the story in Genesis, Abraham reaches for his knife to slay his son. And just then the angel of the Lord stops him and provides a ram as a substitute for Isaac. Now, this chapter from Hebrews, chapter 11, is not a chapter focused on death and resurrection, but the entire chapter is focused on examples of faith. It defines faith as being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, about holding to be true what God reveals, even if it seems impossible to my reason and my senses. So why was Abraham able to proceed then without question in the face of this command, which would seem to wipe out God's promise and God's faithfulness? Well, the question is answered not in the letter in the book of Genesis account, but in our New Testament text, which says of Abraham concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Now, for Abraham, this is a very specific confidence that God could keep his promise even in the face of the death of Isaac, his only son, the child of promise. For God would surely be able to raise him up again from the dead. And for us also, it is the abiding faith given us by our Holy Spirit that even if we have one foot in the grave, even when we stand at the deathbed and the graveside of a loved one, a parent, husband, wife, child, the faithful promise of God remains, that he fulfills his promise to us in spite of the impossibilities according to our weak human sense. The promise is that through this same faith, God has given us the very righteousness of his only Son, so that we stand before him in spite of our sin and weakness, in spite of our bodily death and our moral death, clothed with the perfect righteousness and holiness of his only begotten Son. That is the faith that is expressed by Job in the Old Testament. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the last day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I will see God, and my eyes will behold him and not another. Abraham trusted the promise of God, and no matter what, as he prepared to carry out God's command with his knife, he knew and he trusted that God would be faithful to his promise. God provided another sacrifice in place of Isaac, a ram, and he has provided another sacrifice in the place of all men, that descendant of Isaac, our Lord Jesus Christ, the destroyer of death. In sickness and as death draws near, we may pray that God would save the life of our loved one, but even if the loved one dies, our Lord remains faithful to his promise, and he does save that life because he has taken that child to his eternal home in heaven. And we look forward to that and the resurrection at the last day. That's the Christian faith that sustains us in sickness and health, in life and in death. Even though death surrounds us on every side, and even though we all have one foot in the grave from birth onward, We live under his promise that death is dead and is powerless over us. With our father Abraham, we live under God's promise and his faithfulness to his promises. To God alone be the glory. Amen.